I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Judges with us. The book of Judges tonight, if you'll turn there. I want to say a word to the man of God. I appreciate the privilege of being here and co-laboring with you behind this place of God that God's raised up here and worked through your life and done a work for through you and reached these people for the glory of God. And I thank the Lord for it. I marvel every time I drive down the road and I look over here and see this great facility God's raised up. And I thought about how this field would probably be vacant had God's man not responded to the Lord. And your lives might not be what they ought to be for God had not God moved his heart and God burdened him to come. And look what God's done now. I'm excited about the new building out here. No telling who might get saved, get right with God, go on and serve the Lord. And I'm thankful for the Lord for God's raising some people up to work with the man of God to get the job done. I praise God for that tonight. I do want you to pray for us now. God's will be done in their life. Back out on the road, we used to have a lot of support. We turned it all in when we went and took the pastorate. But just be much in prayer about that. God would help us. And God take care of all them things in our life. And I want to do the will of God best I know how. And I want to serve him to the day I die. And I bless his good name today. Talk to my granddaughter today. My head ain't getting big, is it? She answered the phone. She said, "Papaw." I just melted, you know, and I want to give her the keys to the house, the car, and all that stuff. And then she said, "I love you and miss you." And that just rumped me, so I'm running, all right? So I'm glad God's good to us. And I praise his good name tonight for being so good to our life and heart. I want you to turn to the book of Judges tonight, chapter number 15. Judges chapter 15. And I'm probably going to take up where the man of God just left off to just hook up right together and go on for the glory of God tonight. Judges chapter 15. And I want you to notice, if you would please, at verse number 14. And when you found your place, like you stand in honor and reverence to the word of God tonight. Judges chapter 15 and verse number 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. We're speaking about Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arm became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed them off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heap, with the jawbone of the ass have I slain 1,000 men." Notice verse number 17. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand. Verse 18, and he was sore thirst and called on the Lord and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance in the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank, his spirit came again, and he revived. You can be seated, please. I want you to pray now that the Lord would help us and God touch our heart tonight. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be saved and be in the house of God. Thank you for this good church and these people. And thank you, God, for the man of God. I do pray you touch his daughter and heal her, raise her up, put the touch of God upon her and build a hedge about this place, O Lord, supply every need. Lord, for this serviceman sinner, and may the touch of God be there, and may he come to know our God and use him for the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, meet the need in every heart and every home tonight. Touch us, dear God, you know our need. We need your strength, and we need your power. I pray you'd breathe upon us, O God, that you might use us, that others might find Christ in their life, and they might glorify God and bring honor unto the Lord Jesus. And we'll thank you and praise you. And bless you for it. For ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. I want you to notice, if you would please, verse number 15, God tells us what insignificant things can be used to bring great victories in our life. Who had ever thought that this great man by the name of Samson, who was the strongest man known at that time in his society or even in the Bible, he would take a jawbone of an old carcass of an old a donkey and put it in his hand and raise it up against a mighty trained army like the army of the Philistines. And the Spirit of God came mightily upon him, and he took what he could find that God laid beside there, and he picked it up and slew 1,000 of those choice men with the jawbone of an ass. And then, Brother Harvey, when he got done with that battle, he walked away from all that heap of slain men and cast that jawbone away as if I'll never need that again in my life. And then he began to cry because he got so thirsty. And God said, hey, Samson, right yonder, the thing you throwed away, exactly what you need to survive in times of drought and dry times in your life. God clave a hollow place in the jawbone that ass, and Samson drank out of that jawbone, and his spirit came again, and he revived. Well, I want to say to you and I tonight that those things that God used in our life as a people of God, as a church, we are so quick after we get what we wanted at the moment, to cast it away and forget about it and go on as if we never need it again. I want to say to you, I have preached it over in 250 churches across America. Most of them are dead on a hammer. And if God showed up in 90% of them, it would scare them half to death. But when they started, friend, they had God. When they started, they wanted God. And now they have forsaken or cast away that which once worked in their life. I want to preach on the subject, don't throw away that which really works. Don't throw away that which really works in our life. If you're not careful, you'll get intimidated by the crowds that are growing and blowing out the back door. There are some churches in, shall I say, Texas, that have 4 and 5 services in the morning and have 3 or 4 services in the afternoon and 2 or 3 at night, and they feel like they got everything they need and claim they got God on their side. One of the biggest mistakes that ever came to Texas is Hagee down in San Antonio. I'm going to tell you that guy's got a marriage problem. That guy has got a lot of things wrong in his life. But there's a lot of Baptists that are by his tapes and listen to that man and think he's got the touch of God on his life. And all he's got is intellect. All he's got is some good material. And they think that's what they need to carry them through in these dark days. Hey, neighbor, that ain't what made America great, and that ain't what made the church great. It was all time touch and power of God upon the church and upon the people of God that made the church what it ought to be for God. I say don't throw away that which really works. Neighbor, we need revival more than we need anything else I can think of. What this church needs is a touch of God to blow through here. What these young people need is an old-time move of God to roll through this church and get the job done in the heart, that we might have to walk behind them and try to persuade them how to do something for God. Hey, neighbor, if it worked back 100 years ago, it'll work, thank God, tonight. I'm going to tell you, we better get back to the old-time way that God may bless us and use us for his honor and for his glory. First thing I want you to notice that I believe we have cast away is that matter of presenting ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. You all know what happened to Samson. His mom and daddy presented him to God, but Samson never did get it straight and get it right. He was living off of his mom and daddy's training and never got it in his old heart until he got over yonder and wanted to die and pulled the pillars down upon his own head. Remember when he came to the carcass of that lion and got that honey out of that lion? He broke his Nazarite vow right then and right there. And he shouldn't have come upon a dead carcass nor touch it, friend. But he went on as if it didn't matter. And neighbor, you find him running and getting the lap of a harlot because he would not present himself a living sacrifice unto God. Come on now. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what you need, son? I'm glad you got your training of a mom and dad. I'm glad that God gave you a pastor that'll teach you the right way to go. What you need, son, is for God to get a hold of your heart and you present yourself to God. And when temptation comes, you don't need mama holding your hand. You don't need a preacher going around telling you how to live your life. You'll have something that you give to God that's near and dear to your heart. Friend, that's what we need, brother. We need these young people. This young man just got saved. What he needs, his heart stirred, his heart begin to get conformed to the image of Christ and give his life and dedicate his mind unto the God of heaven that God could use him for the honor and glory of God. Serve the Lord in the days of thy youth. Remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. I wish I knew back at 18 what I know now. Don't feel sorry for somebody that wants to give their life to God, their talents, their ability, and their whole being, and give it to God that God might use them for the glory and honor of God. You don't have to waste your life out in this world that you might be used to God. You don't have to give your life to the devil and to the world and the flesh to ever be used to God. The greatest testimony could ever be said, I never smoked a cigarette. I've never been out with a harlot. I never drank a can of beer. I don't know what marijuana tastes like. That's not a boring testimony. That's a testimony that gives glory and honor to God. You ought to keep your purity, keep your mind, and keep your heart with all diligence, and keep your soul in the watch care of God. Neighbor, I've seen some young people that have sold out to God. I've seen what I could tell. It is not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing when somebody presents themselves as a candidate, as a vessel to be used of God. Amen. Wonder where they are. Maybe they don't have that desire in their heart. You give God the stirring that you can love him of all your might, all your strength, all your soul, and all that you ought to put him first in your life. Get first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's never been one that took their hands off of their life and give to God what God didn't take that life and pour out blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon their life. I wasted 29 years of my life. I got a lot of time to make up for. But some of you are young. Some of you got strength and you got zeal and you got ability. Why don't you give all of that to the God of heaven that God could bless your life and use it for the glory of God. I've been going 15 years down in Old Mexico. I can speak a little Spanish. Uno taco. Una coca. Dame a coca free. That's what I can say. I can say a lot of that kind of stuff. And I preach with an interpreter. Now there's about 250, sometimes 350 young people come in that little camp meeting. From down in Oaxaca, down in the state of Apodaca, I mean, down all around Acapulco and all them places. And they come in there, and there's a young fella in there. His family was real poor. And neighbor, he got to playing soccer when he's a little youngin'. And he got to getting good at that, playing that soccer. I don't see how they can. Out on rocks, and dear God, I don't see how they can do it, but they do it. And they come and they spied him out, and they scouted him, and they wanted him to play for Mexico's national team. And what they wanted him to play for. And they come to sign that boy up, and they had to consult with his parents, and he had to try out, so he tried out. And in the meanwhile of him trying out and making the deal work in his life, he got happened in the little Baptist church. And he got saved by the grace of God. And then he came to that little camp meeting. And I preached one night about where's God's man. And I preached about saving your life as a missionary. I watched God break that little boy's heart. He got to squalling and a crying and crawled on that concrete and laid at that altar and wept and cried for 40 minutes and got up and hugged his pastor and said, I tell you what I decided. I'm going to give my life to Jesus and let the world go by. I'd rather live for God and have all that Mexico can give me. And so the big test come. He surrendered to be a preacher. God called him to preach. He wanted to be a missionary. The big test come. His mom and daddy was going to get out of poverty. They're going to move from the low side of town up to the high life. And their boy was a ticket onto the high life. And their mom and daddy was Catholic. You hear me? And they thought he was nuts because he went around them Baptists anyhow. And they thought, dear God, now I know he's crazy. And to give up all this to be a Baptist preacher of all things. Amen. He said, I don't care what you think, Mama. You can beat me. Daddy can disown me. And y'all can have my funeral. But I ain't signing no paper. My feet belong to God. My hands belong to God. My energy belongs to God. My life is Jesus. That's what it is. Why can't we find some people in America, blessed of God highly, got good opportunity to do something for God, but sit back and do absolutely nothing for the God of heaven? Shame on you. If it'll work in old Mexico, it'll work up here in Fort Hood, Texas. There's nothing wrong with getting an education. But why don't you get one that God can give you? There's nothing wrong with using your mind and stretching your brain cells, if you please. But why don't you dig in that artesian well right here? Why don't you get in this gold mine, try to figure out what's in there, say amen, and let God do something for you and be used of the Lord. Present yourself to God. I remember when God got to dent this fella about preaching. I'm going to tell you how bad a shape I was in, preacher. I was cutting hair. I mean, somebody said, can you hear God speak? Oh, yeah, I heard him. He called my name. It's a whole lot louder than my daddy ever said it, too. I mean, I heard it way down in here where it rung real deep down inside. He said, I want you to preach. I said, no, Lord, you're doing all right. You got Billy Graham, all them other crowd. That's how bad a shape I got in. I said, Lord, I clean the molds. I wash the cars. I keep the preacher's car clean. I vacuum the church, but I am not going to preach. I'm scared to get in front of people. I don't know what to say and what to do. He said, that's the kind I want. I don't want the kind that knows how. I don't want the kind that can do it on their own. I want somebody that'll let me do it through them. I said, but I can fit right under, but I don't know how. He said, just keep being that way. Everything will be all right. That's exactly right. Neighbor, when you learn how to do it and you feel like you got all the answers, you're too big for God because God can use somebody full of themselves. You got to get full of God. That's what you got to have. I was so shy, they used to have us to quote little, what was it, poems in school? I never did want to read mine, much less quote it. And they asked for volunteers to do math problems at school. I never did raise my hand. I was getting under the chair, friend. I'm going to tell you something. God don't have to have smart people. He just got to have somebody willing to give themselves to God. Neighbor, it don't matter what God gave you personality. God knows what you're made of. And he's got a place for you and a place in your life that you can be used of the Lord. Why don't you give yourself to God? Remember when Hannah took her boy Samuel down to the house of God and lent him to the Lord all the days of his life. You see, neighbor, that's a wonderful thing. But it come a time that God said, Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. He said, how would you like to be in Samuel? First message you got, you're supposed to reprove the preacher that you've been serving. You read that, son. You read it real good. That backslidden priest had the private out of him nearly. Don't defer. Tell me what he said now. I'm sure he was speaking real soft when he said it. How would you like to have your first message come out preaching to the preacher? Now, I ain't saying all you're supposed to straighten the preacher out. I wouldn't even try that. You know better. I ain't trying to tell. I ain't promoting that kind of foolishness. But I'm trying to prove a point here. God, if he has to, he can raise up somebody young with a humble heart that he can speak to somebody not right. Well, y'all listen to me. You see, Samuel had to give his own heart to God. One of the greatest writing prophets in the Old Testament was old Samuel. Son, did got to anoint the greatest king that ever walked in shoe leather outside of God, outside of Jesus. Well, who could tell what God's got sitting right in here? If some woman give their life to God as a missionary's wife, I want to marry a missionary. I want to give myself to be, come on now, a preacher's wife. Amen. Behind every good preacher has to be a good wife. Oh, y'all ain't taking this. But I want to marry a doctor. Well, you can't get no better than heart surgery. Some of you need some brain surgery, so we got to answer. Would y'all help me preach now? God knows what he's doing. I remember after I got saved, I want to renew my vows, consecrate my life to God. We'd done that in that church. I took my wife and my daughters and my house key, the keys of my car, keys of my business. I put them all on the altar. I said, Lord, you loan them to me. They ain't mine. I sign it all over to you. Take it and do what you want with it. I have got to preach in over 38 states. Traveling 3 countries, and I'm preaching to you now. You would never pick me out to preach to you, but God did, amen. I will tell you something, honey. You cannot ever, ever limit God. No telling what he'll do with your life. Why don't you give yourself unto the Lord? You don't make your mama happy. You want to make your daddy happy. You want to be a blessing to this church. Won't you let God touch your heart? Not on some little formal thing that somebody wants you to do. It might not be the night you settle in your heart. It might not be tomorrow night when you settle in your heart. But dear God, when you get her settled, that ain't enough demons in hell that could pull you away from that altar. Give yourself to God. Crawl up on that altar. Don't leave anything off of that altar. Every ambition, every dream, every desire, every goal you had, give it to God and let God fulfill that in your life. He's fairer than the fairest. You cannot do better than giving yourself to somebody that loved you so much that he died and gave himself for you. I don't think Jesus would do me right. Are you thinking right? Well, you've been drinking this week. You got mud in your brain. You ain't thinking right. He'll never do you wrong. God's got a plan for every person in this building. There's people that can be reached through your personality and through your life. But until you give it to God, He'll never take it. He'll never pull it away from you. And you'll be the loser till you consecrate and dedicate your heart and life to Jesus. Secondly, watch this. I think that you and I ought to understand one thing. You want to know what caused Samson to get in that skirmish? Samson got himself in a mess through the practice of the preaching he performed in his life. You want to know who bound him up and gave him over to the Philistines? It was his own brethren. They said to him, "We're not going to fall on you, Samson. We ain't going to kill you, but we're going to bind you up and give you over to the Philistines and let them have their way with you." You see, neighbor, you've got to understand one thing. Preaching will produce persecution in the lives of those that live for God. All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, we can't take it if they say, "You go over there to Brother Harvey's church. Y'all going to drink some Kool-Aid, ain't you?" Y'all listen to me. We are so sissified, it's pathetic. We can't take it if somebody says, "No, I don't want to go. Get out of my yard. Don't talk to me about that no more." What, neighbor, I'm going to tell you what God done for that other church. They got so comfortable in their fellowship, got so comfortable sitting around enjoying one another's company, that God said, "All right, boys, you ain't going to listen the other way. I'll send persecution to scatter you." Well, when somebody gives you a bad hair day on the job, don't just say, "Poor little old me, God don't understand." You ought to be rejoiced that you is counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Some of you guys out there in the military, I'm glad that God puts you there. You're preserving this thing. You're helping us out. And it could be you're the only crowd that God's letting us win because you're there. I mean, God will watch over His youngins. You know that's right? And if they say something smart about you, say, "Well, he's a Bible thumper. He carries his Bible and he wants to pray over his food." You ought to just say, "Glory to God, that's right." And they bring the magazines out, flip out all that ugly mouth a bunch of junk, and just turn your head and walk off. And they say, "Sissy, that little mama's boy." Well, let them say what they want to say. I'd rather have God on my side and that crowd mad at any time in my life. You can live for God and you can take it on a chin and walk out there with glory in your soul. Don't be afraid to tell them that you got saved. I talked to a young fellow the other day wanting to join the Marines. Missionary son down in Little Mexico. And he said, "Well, I need to join so I can learn how to have a little temperance in my life and they can teach me a little control." I said, "Your daddy's belt can help you do that." My daddy's taught me how to shut up. He taught me how to get out of bed. He taught me how to, you don't need Uncle Sam to teach you that, boy. Nothing wrong with the military. I ain't throwing off on you guys. At least you wasn't leathernecks and jarheads. Grunts or whatever you call them. I said, "I want to tell you something, son. You think that it'll keep you from the world? It ain't going to keep you from the world. It ain't going to make you serve God. It won't keep you." I said, "I'm going to tell you what you'll find out. I got a friend of mine was in there years ago, and he's a Christian. And his sergeant said, 'Cuss, Private, I want you to cuss.' He said, 'Sorry, sir, Private, don't cuss.' He said, 'Cuss, Private, sorry, sir, Private, don't cuss.' He said, he made me get some whisk and some warm water, pour in my canteen, shake it up and down, and sit there and jump up and down, 'Private, don't cuss, sir, Private, don't cuss, sir.' Then he said, he made me drink it and said, 'Don't throw up on on the Marine Corps floor. And don't throw up on the Marine Corps sidewalk in the grass and in the commode. Don't you throw up. Ain't you glad you don't drink whisk? Now that fella suffered persecution because he was a Christian. And he went outside when nobody looked and he throwed up on the tree. He didn't say nothing about throwing up on the Marines tree. He said day after day we'd get it. They'd try to break us and make us be like them. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And some of you kids sitting there, you're in a protected environment. You got mom and dad to protect you. You ought to thank God. And if somebody sees you down to Kmart or down at Walmart or down to HEB Dress Right, and they got something smart to say about your skirt and your little jumper you got on, well, just give them a track and say, all right, at least somebody knows I'm saved. Amen. Well, you go up there to that little Christian school, do you? Yes, sir. Glory to God. Amen. Quote them a few Bible verses. Stand there and sing them a song at McDonald's. Just bail out a good Christian song for you. Pray over your food. No need to be ashamed about it. They know you're here anyhow, and they're going to make fun of you anyhow. And just give them something real good to talk about. Remember coming to East Texas. I'm wound up. I may not get done to dark 30. I don't know. I remember coming to Texas. I knocked over 500, maybe 700 doors. Everybody I talked to up here in Fairfield, Texas, saved. They hated me and they hated God. They'd run me out, slam the door. And I'm telling you, I got so aggravated that crowd, I wanted them all to die without God. I didn't care if none of them got right. Then I got over it. I finally found one person that's friendly to me. Oh, you're that preacher at that little old church. Well, come on in. I said, my God, finally found somebody that's Christian around here. I said, preacher, how'd you like to eat supper? I sure would like to eat supper with somebody. So they invite us to go. You're going to think it's strange. To a singing. Well, I didn't want to embarrass them. I said, well, that sounds nice. I'll go with you. Me and my family went, Brother Harvey went to singing. Only person that invited us to do anything the whole time we was there, about 4.5 months, 5 months. I mean, really? I mean, what did you do after about 5 months of beating on doors? So I went. We wound up at a black Methodist church of all places. Don't get all upset with me. And they had this Baptist group up there singing on the platform. This woman had pants on, hair shorter than mine. Had their they's a doing it, boy. And my wife said, don't say nothing. She said, don't say nothing. And I'm thinking, okay, I won't say nothing. I won't say nothing. And I bit my tongue, got through the first verse of the first song. And they's doing all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how can I get out here and make a spectacle of myself? How can I do this? And I couldn't figure out a way how to do it. Somebody said, won't you let them sing another? I saw them say, won't you tell them to shut up? That ain't Baptist singing. That's not Baptist singing, I said. And I sat down. Now, you can imagine everybody looking at me about now. My wife said, I told you not to say nothing. I done messed up in, buddy.
Amen.
It got so big in there, I didn't give a flip.
Amen.
I looked at that crowd and invited me. They was climbing under the pew. We brought this crazy guy with us. We don't know him. Kissed the rosary and everything. And they started singing the second time. I said to my wife and kids, get up. Let's get out of this stinking mess. I want this crowd to know there's one Baptist preacher that'll tell you that's wrong. I got up and walked out. I said, now I had it. My name's mud everywhere in this county. Went to that little old Baptist church. Little old, what they used to work on car engines. And got in the corner. I said, Lord, I messed up now. Had my little pity party. I sure messed up now. Ain't nobody ever going to come see me. I said, Lord, if you just give me enough strength to face this crowd the other day, this Saturday night. I said, won't you do me a favor, Lord? If you're pleased with what I said and done last night, let that crowd come to church tomorrow and invite me with them. I'm teaching Sunday school. I hear a car pull up out there. Boom, one door shut. Two doors. Well, we got two visitors. Three, four. That little family that I thought I'd embarrass so bad come waltzing in that church. You might have to take a little pressure that somebody know there's something real around here. How they gonna know what we got's real till they can test it and make sure? Come on now. Neighbor, I'm going to tell you what the early church done. They took it and they growled and they grew and they flourished when persecution came. How you going to see and experience the power of God to deliver you until you get to the place you need God to help you? I want you to notice, I got to hurry. Watch this. I believe that we are throwing away old time prayer. Now, there has been some times that I've been around where prayer has really settled in on the church. You can't make people pray. You know that, neighbor? You can. Have you ever tried to brag on yourself when you've been praying? Have you ever tried to run somebody else down while you were praying? You can talk all the words you want to, but until God hears the sincerity and the motivation and sees the truth of the heart, there's nothing going to be accomplished in our praying. I had an old mountain preacher come preach for me one time. Here's what he said to me, Brother Lightsey. He said, preacher, ask you a question. How much your praying's praying? I said, thought for a minute. I said, well, all of it is. He said, you better think about that and come back and talk to me a little later. When we pray, when we got sin in our heart, it ain't praying, because God will not hear us as we pray. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. As long as you have got sin hid in your heart, you're not getting any praying done. You're just going through all the motions. Aren't we good at hiding what we really are? So we won't have to tell nobody about what we've been up to. You see, God knows it anyhow. And we're so quick to hide behind ourselves and our own righteousness, what we think we are, and go right on through the motion and feel like we're right with God and God getting nothing done in our life. How long has it been since God answered your prayer? Have you taken inventory lately? Have you took notes about your prayer life and took inventory and see if you're really getting anything done or not? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe in, ye shall receive. You have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss, and you have not because you want to consume it upon your own lust. You see, there's a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. But I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. My house should be called the house of prayer, and we have made it a den of thieves. We waste God's time. We rob God of his time. We rob one another of our time. Hey, neighbor, if we confess our fault one to another, pray one for another that you might be healed, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elisha was a like passion, man of like passion such as we are, and yet he prayed, and God sent to him back to rain, and he prayed again, son, and God gave the rain. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Wouldn't you like to get on praying ground? Have you got aught and fault and jealousy and envy and malice and strife and whispering and backbiting and God robbing and whatever else you can think of in your heart, and you're trying to pray for all that load in the way. You can't pray like that. Some of the best times I've ever had in my life broke out in a prayer meeting. Some of the best services you'll ever experience in your life and in the entire life is when it breaks out in a prayer meeting. Have you ever prayed in your car and you just sense the presence of God in your car and God show up in your heart and tears start to flow? Isn't it wonderful to have fellowship with God and commune with God in prayer? Most of our prayers, Lord, give me this and Lord, give me that and Lord, they're doing this and Lord, they're doing that. Why in God's name we always got to ask God for something when we first got going to the Lord? I thought we ought to come before His presence with thanksgiving. When's the last time you entered into His presence with, thank you, Lord, I don't deserve a thing. I don't have a right to ask you. But you have been, well, if you start bragging on Him instead of start begging on Him. I preached up in North Carolina. God sent me by a church, went there and stayed 3 weeks. 28, 29 people got saved in that meeting. And I'm going to tell you something, neighbor. I ain't never in my life been around a bunch of folk that want to pray like that crowd was wanting to pray. I'm talking about boys. How old are you, son? How old? 17. Boys his age and younger, Brother Harvey, would get in that church. We're talking about out yonder 18, 19-year-old kids out there running up and down the road, sitting around at McDonald's on the parking lot. They'd be in that church from 9 o'clock at night till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, crawling around under the pew, said, Lord, I don't know who's going to sit here tomorrow night, but would you touch their heart and bring some? It could be some woman, Lord, come in here and her life's a mess. And they'd crawl around in there and say, Lord, my man of God's been having such a hard time. He and his wife and son, they're crying and a squalling and a talking to God and getting a hold of the horn of God, not letting go. And some of they get in there and sing, get in that choir and get in the service, a touch of God come. You know where I come from? Somebody got a hold of God in an old time prayer meeting and the job got done. We're so afraid that we're going to say something wrong somebody hears. Why don't you just get honest? God, He knows what you are and how. Sonny, it broke out down there at that camp meeting down there in Mexico. Brother Harvey, I preached on the absence, on the spirit of things. It's got tied. Everybody's just so far from God. And I said, we don't want God. Hadn't wanted God since we've been here. Somebody better get right with God. We quench the Lord around this place. And so on the next service, them young preachers got to preaching their people. And they had three preachers that morning. And comes that night, that next night, that service that next night, we started out. And dear God, one young person got up and went to that altar with tears in their eyes from the pew out to that altar. And we didn't get up off of that altar at 10:30 that night. And there's a laying around crying and a begging God and getting right with God. I've had worse preaching done to me when I've been praying. Have you ever felt like the preacher was doing this number to you? You ever felt like every time he done that number, he's pointing at you? You ever felt that way? You feel like, who told him that? Well, you know how guilty you feel like that? You're just hoping if he'll just be quiet, I'll get right with God. When you get down there and get to praying and the Holy Ghost moves in your heart, it's a whole lot worse than going like this. He's a doing this number. You know I know, and you know we both know it. We all know it. Just time, just get it right. And you get all that junk out of the way. Have you ever got all that junk out of the way in your life and stayed there until He showed up? Are y'all with me now? I ain't talking about some charismatic talking some heavenly language bunch of garbage. I don't need no heavenly language garbage. He knows my Kentucky brogue, son. He knows how to talk to me. I thought He said, keeping yourself in the love of God, praying always in the Holy Ghost. Did He not say that? A lot of times we ain't praying in the spirit, we're praying in the flesh. It makes a lot of difference, don't it? Another place I went one time, Brother Harvey, and them folks had been in a prayer meeting for months. I'm talking about for months. They had got so under conviction. The preacher said, I'll tell you what my problem is. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with this church right here. He said, I ain't been right with God in my prayer life for months. And he got to preaching on prayer. And it broke that church, and that church got in a spirit of prayer and an attitude of prayer, and they desired God in their life, and they wanted something beside what they had. They wanted God to show up. They built a little prayer house behind the church, and they said, this thing's off limits to gossip. We ain't backbiting, whispering in here. We're coming for one reason only, and that is to pray and talk to God. Had a little old rocking chair in there and Bibles around in there and altars all around that little building. You know what you go in there? And son, God would just soon just speak to your heart. And God working in people's heart. And he'd been there, I don't know how many years, Brother Lightsey. And after he'd been in that prayer room for about 6 months, he said all of a sudden people we witnessed to 13, 14 years ago started coming out of the woodwork, started getting saved, getting right with God. Are y'all listening to me? I wonder what we could have if we get this much done with a little praying. I wonder how much more we could get done with a lot of praying. Men ought to always pray. You know it works. You know that's what how the old-time church slew the Philistines. You know that's how we conquered victory in our life and got victory in our life and conquered enemies in our life. It's through prayer to the pulling down the stronghold of the devil, neighbor, the prayer of the saints. I believe we could drive back every fuzzy-headed, hairy devil in the country. That's right. If we get on our face before God and beg God to help us. You see, God knows what we need, and we need to quit throwing away that which really worked. One of the fellas came up to me and said, preacher, God supplied a tank of gas for me. God really is real. God's real. Well, isn't it wonderful? I mean, you ought to brag on God doing that. I don't know what it is in your life that you need, but I'm going to tell you what I found out. God answers prayer. I don't want to sit here and sound like I'm a spiritual hot dog, some kind of something like that. I ain't. I'm no more than a sinner saved by grace than what you are. God don't love me no more than he loves you. And he'll hear your prayer like he'd hear the prayer of anybody else. Are you hearing me? You don't have to be so high and mighty on the plateau above everybody else. Honey, you've got to be humble and honest in your heart and come with humility before the Lord and pour out your complaint before the Lord, and God will move on your behalf. Amen. I'm glad God answers and God does great things in our life. If you can't know him through prayer, I don't think you know him at all. I remember years ago, God breaking my heart about prayer. I remember that. I didn't know much about it. I just got saved. And Brother Harvey, I'm just telling you, I was so wound up. I wanted to get close to God. And I'd climb out on my porch, get up on the eave of my house. And I'd look at them stars up there, and I ain't telling you got to do all this. I'm saying that's where I had to grow. And I was learning to talk to God. I got up there, Brother Harvey. I said, Lord, you name that one. I said, here I am right here. Can you see me? I said, can you see me? He said, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do all that kind of stuff, but honey, it worked. And I'd lay on top of my house, I'd just get to cry and look up there at that big sky. I said, God, you own all of that and more. And you see me right here. Oh, it's wonderful. I love you. You love me. And it's just so great. And I had a whole skylight on my house. And my girl's going to run around and said, Mama, Mama, Daddy's on the house of prayer again. God help. I don't care where your prayer altar is, friend. You got to get to it and get God back on your life and let God bless your life. You see, we got to get some humility about us and get honest. We need to get back to prayer. Old Brother Seidler, I've heard him tell him old stories, get me hungry for God. Get out there and pray.
God show up in them old mountains up there on that prayer rock. Isn't it wonderful that you could have somewhere that you could meet with God? These men's prayer rooms over here. I mean, it ought to be warm, or it'd be just boiling hot with the prayer of the saints of God. It ought to be testimonies all over this county how God had intervened, God answered prayer, what God had done. And neighbor, I think we have thrown it all away. I want to close and listen to me. You remember Samson gave that crowd that riddle? He gave them a riddle. He said, if you answer this riddle, I'm gonna do all these things. You remember what he said over there? I'm going to tell you what I believe we've thrown away. We have thrown away old-fashioned preaching for entertainment. You know what Ezekiel said? We have become a very lovely song. You just about know what Preacher Harvey is going to say next. Come on now. It is not entertainment when your man of God's a preaching and you can almost write out his outline. You don't need to be concerned what his next point is. You need to be concerned that God's a digging in your heart. You know how? You want to know why they use old Lester Roloff all over the country? You want to know why they used him? He had a touch of God on him. He had a power of God on him, but they thought it was a joke. I've heard tapes of old Jack Hiles making light of Lester Roloff. He said, I watched a couple hours.
Get in here one time, I pull a buckshot and everything else he can find and rip your hide off once in a while. The mic ain't on, I guess. That's what we need. That's what y'all tell me, the mic ain't on. Good. Glad it won't on. If this was real preaching, it'd self-destruct in 5 minutes. Won't y'all listen to me, friend? We're living in a generation. I'm telling you, it's your wife. You ought to go say first thirst, and it will help.
Come on.
If it's your husband, say, preacher, he's at it again. Come on, man. Y'all understand what I'm trying to tell you. Most of the time, when a deacon's wife gets preached to, she says, you going to let him preach to me like that? Yeah, we won't let him preach you like that.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, I don't care what your name is, what your daughter's name is, or what my father is, we all need preaching.
Right. That's right.
We need preaching in season, we need preaching out of season.
Sir.
We need somebody to reprove us and rebuke us and exhort us to get right with God. If necessary, call our name out and embarrass our fool out of us till we get right with God.
Amen.
Sir. Can you see Paul? Better not call their name. They may not come back to service. Alexander the coppersmith done me much evil. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. His name called him preachers. Jesus called Herod a fox. John the rip-roaring Baptist called him a bunch of vipers.
well, we ought not do that because we ought to be more sophisticated. No, you've got so sophisticated, you may have lace on your doors. We don't need no chocolate soldier preaching and Casper milk toast. I'm sorry I offended you type preaching. No. If you want that, go to the First Baptist.
Amen.
We need God to show up, and the only way God's going to help you, if God's man get full of the Holy Ghost and preach the hide off of you.
Come on, that's right.
I think we ought to go back preaching the law. We got to preach on the Ten Commandments. It brings so much conviction in the average Baptist church. They'd either get saved or get right with God or get gone, one to two. That's exactly what we need around the house of God. We need some preaching that will reprove us. We need some preaching that will recover us out of the snares of our life. Neighbor, we got to expose where we're headed to. Somebody better tell you where the dangers are. Somebody better point out where the pitfalls are. Or we're all going to crash and make a mess of our life.
Yes, sir.
Church, the early church was noted because they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. And they had holy boldness in their life. Those apostles, some of them was fired up with the boldness of God in their heart and life. And that's what it's going to take in this generation. If they preach that hard back number in our Lord's day and in John the Baptist's day and in the early apostles' day and Pharaoh's times of back number and men was loving themselves more lovers and pleasures more than God, well, you think they are now?
That's right. Yes, sir.
See, we need some old time preaching. You remember what the preacher preached on when he got you right with God last night?
Amen.
Remember that in God. That was your heart. There ain't nothing like Christmas. I like it so much, I like it with no love in it. Well, he's got a bad spirit. Well, you might have two or three. I don't like him.
Come on.
How would you like to be in Moses' congregation, the biggest man of all the earth? Can you see him going to that fellow by the name of Aaron? Hey, Aaron! Where that calf came from? Where'd it come from, boy? That jumped out of fire. You snake me up. We met jump, boy. Where'd it come from? Oh, they gave me them earrings. We told them they jumped out of fire. It took a little while for him. Not all such as it. Like you, but you don't know that. Moses said, hey, it sounds like war down that camp. He come down and off that mountain with God. His zeal for God was his heart was in love with Jesus. God built with him on that mount. Yeah. Come down all that idolatry. No wonder they upheld him. No wonder they had to stay away from him, son. He did with God through the Holy Ground.
Amen.
He came down with an attitude of God towards sin before that whole crowd.
Right.
He said, grind that thing up. And they ground it up. And the Bible said they strawed it on the water. And did it. Come here, Nathan. That ain't going to hurt you, brother. Ain't it? Can you see this, brother? Bend down there, boy. Drink it, son. Drink it. Thank you, son. I didn't mean to be a hugger, too. Yeah. You see, somebody said you can lead a horse of water, but you can't make him drink, but you can make sheep drink.
Yes, sir.
Moses made his sheep drink.
Amen.
He made him drink out of water. Then he wasn't done.
Right.
He said, who's on the Lord's side? He said, oh, everybody get your sword on. Who's on God's side today? Every man against his wife, against his mother, against his brother, against his daughter, against his son. Kill him. So how would you like to live back in? You think preaching's tough, that? He made them slay that crowd right there before God and everybody.
Yes, sir.
Now, we physically don't want to. Remember one time I was preaching along, I got wound up preaching, but I said one time, I said, if your wife won't get right, God just beat the fool out of her.
Amen.
She's like, I can't take home, beat the devil out, take a belt and whip her bottom. That's what, well, dear God, somebody went home and done it.
You got to get more. preacher down far. The preacher said, well, that's she act like that. I just leave her. Well, he's not going to hold it. That's his wife. You got to figure some of this stuff out on your own, friend. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yes, sir.
You got to be really sensitive about all that stuff. You got to know all that sounds good, but it all ain't right all the time.
Right.
Go up there and shoot somebody, go up there and whip somebody, and take my side with you to death. Well, I ain't going to take your side with you. I'm going to let God do it.
Yeah. Sir.
We got to have some preaching that's right. Do you hear me?
Sir.
Ain't nothing like preaching to help you. Old time Holy Ghost unctionized, God fearing preaching, devil hating, pulling the shingles off the roof, praise God. I ripped the carpet up, blood and guts everywhere, heaven and hell, and just scatter everything.
Yes, sir.
Now, y'all with me?
Glory to God.
Preacher must solve something today. He must not like it. Well, you got that right.
Yes, sir.
Because after a while, them wolves will come in. Here's what happened. I'm closing. They'll come in. With sheep clothing on. They have the one desire, that's to get close to the weak and the wayward in the church. And they start poisoning them, and they start drawing aside after their own presumptuous ways, and they'll raise up a little crowd, and they start having a little phone conversations on the phone, having a little house of fellowship, and they get talking about the things you don't like at the church, the things you don't like here, and the preacher this and this and that. Well, you need somebody to let you know that's a bug.
Yeah.
And then when the preacher finally figures out what the birds are doing, and he starts preaching to them in the church, and somebody says, he's a little bit too hard on that family. He ought not be so hard on them. You know, he's going to run them off if he ain't careful. Well, neighbor, you need to understand, he is not trying to run them off. He's trying to keep them dragging you out.
Amen. Come on.
Then after a while, after you pass the while, you get your little buffalo gun out and you get the shell put in there and you see them walk in the back door. You just zero in that scope and put the silence on there.
Yep.
Yeah. You see, break one, he was shooting at today.
Oh.
When he saw something up on the wall, he want to make sure that he's going to hit it before he gets to you.
That's right. Yes,
yeah.
Because they get in here and they get close to you, and you got a church of a discipline, it'll cause you to get so rocky and almost mess you up getting in right with God.
Yeah.
Am I telling that right?
Yeah.
We need some preachers that ain't afraid to find a buffalo gun with us.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You stand and think I'm close. Don't cast away that which really works. Don't aside. We'll tell you what works. Praising God and worship still is right for the saints of God. I ain't talking about this charismatic swaying and bebopping junk. But every once in a while when you get where you need to worship God, every time you find the word worship in the Bible, there's on their face before God in humility. Have you ever really worshiped Him in the beauty of holiness and give Him glory for who He is and what He's done for your life? Church, if you don't learn to worship, you'll fall slam apart and you'll get weak in your life. You'll worship at home. You'll worship in your heart. I know some people's not emotional, not all that, but it's got to be a time in your life somewhere that you'll lift your voice to Him in praise and song. Singing to yourself and making melody in your heart. And singing praises unto His name. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord all ye lands. Shout for joy, ye saints of God. I'm going to tell you it's a good thing to give praises comely to the upright.
Amen.
These altars open, sister. You come if you would please.